has very much to do with the human and divine spirit. So I appreciated to see that these past few days, right, we are really diving into this matter of the two spirits. And so last night, you know, as our brother was sharing, you know, I just had this fresh appreciation for what? For our spirit.
Amen.
And specifically how we are tripartite. And that we know that we are tripartite. This is not a dichotomy. But we have three parts. Our body, our soul, and our spirit. This is wonderful. You know, this morning, we come to this message. Knowing our spirit and the mingled spirit. You know, I think all of us, especially if you've been here for a while, you know you have three parts. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us we have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. We know that the innermost part of our being is the spirit. When you come to this lesson, knowing our spirit, you know, if I asked you, okay, give me one verse that tells me I have a spirit. Austin, give me a verse.
Romans 8:16.
Sisters, give me another verse. There you go. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Yeah. Brothers, how about another verse? Zechariah 12:1. Sisters. John 4:24. You know, we could go on and on and on, and you could list out all the verses from the Word that tells us we have a spirit. But this lesson is not intended for us just to know objectively that we have a spirit. But actually, you know, if you come to Roman numeral 1, you'll see. To know the spirit is to know it by the sense of the spirit. So it's not just that, you know, we could draw the three circles on the board and you could tell your friends that, hey, you have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit. But we need to learn. We need to experience. We need to sense the Spirit. To sense the Spirit is the way to know the Spirit. In the lesson book, if you don't need to take it out. I'm just letting you know. We are covering lessons 16 and 17. And in lesson 16, there was an example right from the beginning about knowing the Spirit. And so Brother Lee there compares this matter to knowing electricity. You know, we see electricity being expressed, being demonstrated in this room, right? There are light bulbs here, and you see the light, and we know that, you know, there are wires connected to the light bulb that connects the light bulb to, you know, the basically the generator, right, or the power plant. You know, you trace it all the way back. So, I mean, objectively, you know that there's electricity in this room. But have you ever experienced it? Have you ever sensed it? When I was younger, you know, I was born in Taiwan, and I spent a lot of my early childhood years with my grandparents. And I have this distinct memory. I was in my grandma's house. And in the living room, and I was just curious, you know, boys were curious, actually girls probably too, but I feel like this happens to boys more than girls. And so, you know, I looked at the socket, and I saw the plug, and I was wondering, yeah, what would happen if I stuck my finger, right? You know, where the plug gets connected to the socket. I'm just curious, how many of the girls have ever done that before? Okay, just a few. How about the boys? Seems a lot more, yeah. So I touched it, and bzz, right? You get zapped. Now I know, right, what electricity is. Because you sensed it, right? And you've experienced it firsthand. It's not just some doctrine to you, right? And so in the same way, actually, to know the Spirit, you know, we need to realize that there are certain attributes, right? There are certain descriptions. There's a way for us to really know subjectively for ourselves what it means to be in our spirit. I don't know if you've ever had that question or somebody has asked you that question. How do you know if you're in your spirit? How do you know if you're not in your spirit, right? So hopefully, as we go through this outline, this will become more clear to us. I feel actually that if we go into the lesson book, Merlee here has a lot of good descriptions or a detailed, a lot of adjectives, right, on what the sense of the Spirit is like. So maybe we could turn. I believe I have the same version of the book as you do. So this is 126. And then I'm just going to read. This is under the section, under the sense of death. It's like a summary. It's not just going to talk about the sense of death, but it's good summation. So if you go down a few sentences, okay, he starts off, therefore the sense of death is not only the opposite of the sense of life, but also the opposite of the sense of peace. Okay, here he begins the summary. The sense of life makes us feel fresh, lively, satisfied, and vigorous. The sense of death, on the other hand, makes us feel the opposite of these, old, depressed, empty, and powerless. The sense of peace makes us feel natural, restful, comfortable, and at ease. The consciousness of death makes us feel just the opposite of these, unnatural, unrestful, uncomfortable, and uneasy. Thus, whenever we feel inwardly desolate, depressed, empty, dry, weak, and powerless, dark and dull, or uneasy, insecure, uncomfortable, out of harmony, full of conflict, unnatural, sad, and bound, we should know that we are not living in the Spirit. Rather, we are living in the opposite of the Spirit, which is the flesh. So I think this is an excellent description of what it means to live in our spirit. And actually, many times, the way to know whether or not you're in your spirit is just by the sense of death. When you feel desolate, depressed, empty, dry, uncomfortable, it's a sure sign that you are not in your spirit. And so actually, I feel this matter is something very, very practical, very experiential. And so throughout my speaking this morning, I'd like to give you, at least share with you some of my own experiences about this matter. And hopefully that would be a help to us. If you come to the outline again, we see that under Roman numeral 2, right, it's kind of a repeat of what we just read. You know, this matter of the sense of being lively versus the sense of being dead. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. One of my vivid memories from college, I remember one day, it was a full day. I attended my classes. I was with my friends, the ones on my floor. You know, we just finished having dinner together, and we came back, and we decided to just hang out. So, you know, we were just watching a movie, and then, you know, things, you know, and we just hung out a little bit more afterwards, and it was late into the night. It was like full day, right? It's probably like midnight, 1 a.m. And then when it you know, finally everybody decided to leave, I remember just going back to my room, and I was lying there on my bed and just kind of staring at the ceiling. And I just felt so empty, so empty, so dry. And if you think about it, I don't know if my friends felt that way, because outwardly, you know, we just ate together. We had a good time at the dining hall. And so my body was satisfied. You know, I put food in it. You know, my soul was somewhat satisfied because, you know, we just watched a movie and we were just talking, you know, having a good time. But inwardly, I had this empty sensation. And of course, you know, I grew up in the church life, so I know doctrinally, right, that it was my spirit. But I would say in that particular experience, I really sensed it. I really sensed death. I really sensed emptiness, dryness. And so I turned to my spirit. Amen. And I turned and I just started calling, right? I just started having a conversation with the Lord. And he just filled me with himself. And that was far better, you know, than any of the movies that we could have watched or all the time that we could spend with our friends, right? Because I was inwardly filled and I was inwardly satisfied. I'm sure many of you have similar experiences like that. And so we need to realize that, you know, this is something very real. Okay, let's move on. In Roman numeral 3, we see that the Christian life is not a matter of right and wrong. It is a matter of living in the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay. We need to see, right, that God's economy, his purpose, as seen in Genesis, is to dispense himself into us so that we can express him and we can represent him. How does he go about this, right? Well, you need to look at Genesis 2. The way for him to accomplish that purpose was at first, what? He created man, right? And in 2:7, it says, he formed man out of the dust of the ground. And what did he do? He breathed into him, right, the breath. And that breath there, the Hebrew word is neshama, right? And if you compare that word with Proverbs 20:27, it's the same word there as the spirit of man, right? And so when God breathed into that man that was formed out of the dust of the ground, he formed what? The spirit of man within him. And so now God has a vessel. He has a vessel on this earth, right, that could accomplish his eternal purpose. But he didn't stop there because it's just an empty vessel. What did he have to do? Well, he placed man, right, in the garden. And in the garden, there were the two trees. Okay. And so, actually, I want to focus a little bit on these two trees. What's the first tree? Or what's one of the trees? The tree of life. And that just signifies Christ as life, right? And what was the other tree? The tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so many times, actually, people who are unbelievers, you know, your gospel friends, they don't realize that that tree, right, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it has that word good. A lot of people have this concept that, oh, it's just, you know, to be a Christian is just to be good, right? And we abstain from evil, from doing sinful things. We should try to be good people. But it's very interesting, right, that these two trees, one is on the realm of life, and the other one has something to do with good and evil. Okay, these two trees actually signify or typify two principles. And you could trace these two lines throughout the entire Bible. It starts in Genesis, It goes all the way to Revelation. And in the end, in Revelation, in chapter 22, we still have the tree of life. Why? Because God's purpose is accomplished by the tree of life. He wants to dispense himself into us as life. And his commandment to us, to man, was what? It's to eat the tree of life. I'm so happy that God's commandment, right? His desire for man is not to follow a list of you should do this, you should do that, right? But it's to eat. Amen. Don't you enjoy eating? Amen. How about this week? Have you been enjoying the food? Amen. I heard that hamburgers and hot dogs were a big hit. Yes. Rumor says we're going to have an appearing of that again. So, yeah, let's you guys are excited. Yeah. Actually, no, when we were in a college training, sorry, this is a side point, but, you know, we were there in Amherst, and Amherst has one of the best cafeterias, right, in the nation. But one thing that, at least I didn't find it, right, was they didn't have any hamburgers and hot dogs. No, oh, they did?
No.
No, they didn't. Yeah, I didn't see it at all. And so one time we were walking back from a study session to the dining hall, and I saw a brother, and he had a container with him, and it looked like, you know, a container of food. So I asked him, hey, what's in it? And he opened it. He's like, it's my cheeseburger and fries. He was missing, you know, he's missing his hamburger, right? What is my point? My point is, we all love to eat. Eating is enjoyable. It's something wonderful. So the tree of life, hallelujah, we can partake of it.
Amen.
We can enjoy the Lord as the tree of life.
Amen.
This is God's desire. He wants us not to try to be good people, right? But he wants us to be God-men. He wants us to be full of life. And so we need to realize this, that there is a clear difference from good and life, right? And so, having said that, we come to this point. The Christian life is not a matter of right and wrong. It is a matter of living in the Spirit. And I think we have experiences of this, right? You know, I was thinking, one good experience is like when you're preaching the gospel. Maybe you're talking to a friend, and maybe they don't agree on some of the things that you say. Right? And sometimes what happens? You're trying to argue. You're trying to prove your point. You know, I've encountered this many times on a campus. And after a while, you know, even if you could out-argue them, right? You know, when I was in high school, I was in Model UN. So, you know, you could debate people. You know, I love doing that. You know, just talking to people. Okay, oh, you counter my point, I counter your point. And you just keep going. You could do that for half an hour. And even if you do out-debate them, for me, you know, at the end of the day, end of that conversation, I don't have the sense of life. Actually, I feel dead, you know? And that person is not happy. He's definitely not saved. And you go away, you know, just no life, right? Any of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I think a lot of us, we've had that experience. It's not a matter of what's right and what's wrong, right? It's a matter of whether or not you have life. Another example I had was, you know, just with my parents. And I remember this one time with my dad. You know, we were just talking about something concerning the church. I was in the training at that time, and it was concerning a certain practice, really. And, you know, when you're in the training, you're under such an infusion and the up-to-date speaking. And anyway, we all become a little big-headed, you know, get a little big-headed, and you think that you know it all now. And so I was talking to my dad, and he mentioned something. I was like, oh, no, that's not right. You know, that's not how we do things. And then before long, actually, it became, I wouldn't say it was a full-fledged argument, like if I was arguing with someone who's Muslim, but it was just not good, you know? And at the end of the phone call, again, I had that sense, oh, Lord, I'm so dead, right? And so I had some fellowship, and actually, I appreciated. The brother told me, you know, Shepherd, when you talk to your parents, even if you're talking about, like, practices, you know, in the church, you're talking and you're fellowshipping, we need to stay in the realm of the tree of life. You cannot leave that realm. Actually, that's how we have fellowship, right? Fellowship is not right or wrong, right? It's not to prove your points, right? It's not to try to convince somebody of, you know, of something. But it's to minister life, right? It's the flowing of the divine life. That's true fellowship. Anything outside of that, I don't think you could call fellowship, right? And so this matter, right? This is our Christian life, right? We need to realize this. Point A, it says, do not argue with the inner sense of life and peace, right? The test is whether we have the inner sense of life of peace. We have to take care of the inner sense. And then the next point, the Christian walk, the Christian life, the Christian activity is not according to the standard of good or bad, but absolutely according to the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16 here, it says, but we need to walk by the Spirit, right? We need to have a living, right, that's in the Spirit, enjoying life. And this is crucial for us to live as Christians. Because we want to be here, even in a way that we're just in the realm of good. And what I mean is, you know, you all are high schoolers now, right? And especially the older ones, right? The juniors and seniors. In a sense, you know what the motions are, right? Sometimes you know exactly what your serving ones are looking for, right? And so we know how to be good church kids. You know what I mean? You can even say things, right? Maybe serving ones will ask you a question and you know the answer. Just, you know, give them a quick answer to get them off your back. We know that, okay, if we show up in the meetings, right, as long as we show up, you know, the serving ones won't bother us, right, because we're there, right? But the question is there life? Do we enjoy life in the meetings, right? You know, in my locality, you know, we encourage the young people to Bible, to pursue the Lord with their companions, you know, to call one another to pray. And so, you know, the ones from my locality know what I'm talking about. So every week we ask them, you know, we just want to know, yeah, you know, what their quote-unquote condition is, right? And so they would tell us, oh, 5 days out of the week I was reading my Bible, you know, 4 days out of the week I called my companion. Yeah, you know, we could do all of that, right? You could do all of that outwardly, you know, so that you get that check mark. But the question is, are you enjoying life? Is there life in all those outward activities? When we read the Bible, right, do we find life, right? The Lord says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. Are we getting the word that way in spirit and life? Are we enjoying the word in that way? You know, when we call one another to pray with one another. You know, one time I won't expose these brothers, but one time I was calling a few brothers. At the end of the call, I just had a sense. I'm not sure if we touched our spirit. You know, we just went through the entire material. We pray read, you know, we tried to pray read, you know, the verses for that day. But I wasn't sure that if we really touched our spirit. So I asked the brothers, did you enjoy that time? Like, do you feel like you're filled right now? They were silent. So I just told them, brothers, let's just call on the name of the Lord together. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. We need to touch our spirit. We need to enjoy life. That's the point. Okay? So it's not a matter of what we do. Actually, you know, as I was preparing for this message, I came across this one passage. It's in the publication, The Tree of Life. And there, really was saying that, you know, Satan, he doesn't care for what we do or what we want to accomplish. Actually, all he cares is whether or not we're touching life. And so he will frustrate us. And he would even allow Christians to do good things. And we know that. Actually, you know, a lot of people, maybe some of your friends, maybe they ask you, hey, how come you don't volunteer at the soup kitchen? How come you don't give to the poor? How come you don't take care of this, take care of that? Save the rainforest. They're all good things. But will good things accomplish God's eternal purpose? What is the Lord after? He is after the body of Christ. And that body of Christ is full of Christ as life. The body of Christ is just Christ in you, in me, in all of you, being built together into the body. What is the bride? The bride is also prepared by life, that he might sanctify her by the washing of the water in the word. We need to have life in order to be beautified, right? In order to prepare ourselves to meet the Lord. It's all a matter of life. So it's not that we don't care for the poor, we don't care for all these problems of the world, but we need to have the realization that actually, if the body is built up, if the bride is prepared, when the Lord comes back, all the other problems will be solved. So in a sense, we are caring for the poor. We are caring for, you know, nations having peace with one another, world peace. We're caring for all of that. Save the animals, save the dolphins, all of that. We do have a burden for that. But we need to realize the way to go about that is for you and I to enjoy the Lord. Amen. And for us to minister Christ to one another. Amen. So that the Lord could accomplish his purpose, right? So remember, not according to the standard of good or bad, but absolutely according to the Spirit. Okay. Maybe we can move on. So now there's going to be a shifting of gear because this is now the next lesson. We combine knowing our spirit with the mingled spirit, but it's actually very much related to one another. Roman numeral 4, how about we read that together? Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:17. How about we do that together? Ready? Go. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Again. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Oh, this is such an awesome verse. He who is joined to the Lord. Who's he? You. Me. Us. We're joined to the Lord as one spirit. I don't know if you have such an appreciation for this verse. You know, this is one of the easiest verse to you know, memorize, right? Besides Jesus wept. This is probably, right, the second easiest. Everybody knows 1 Corinthians 6:17. But do you realize what this verse is talking about? This verse says that we are one with the Lord. This is God's heart's desire. Right? God's eternal economy is to what? The same as he in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Brothers and sisters, we have a mingled spirit. the God of this universe, right? The God who stretched forth the heavens. Remember that from the first meeting, right? Our brother told us about, wow, I learned so much in that session, right? Daniel, you missed it. You got to get that audio. That was awesome, right? To see to God, the creator, right? He's gone through a process. And now as the Spirit is in our spirit, he is the indwelling Spirit. He lives in us, and he wants to live with us. We are one spirit with the Lord. And to be one spirit with the Lord means that we are blended with him organically and mingled with him in life. And point A, maybe sisters, you could read that. Amen. Okay, brother, it's B. Okay. The example, usually, I think some of you have seen this before, mingling, right? You have a tea bag, right? Tea comes from the tea bag. You put it in water, okay? And if, you know, usually if it's hot water, you can't see this because my college training bottle is not clear. I got the, I forgot what this is called. But anyways, the gray one. So you can't see it very clearly, but you know what's going on, right? The tea bag and the water, it's being mingled, right? And so, you know, after a few minutes, what do you have? You have tea, right? Do you have water? Yes. Do you have tea?
Yes.
But how can that be? They're mingled together. So do you have God?
Yes.
Are you a man?
Yes.
So what are you?
God.
A God man. Are you something different, like this, you know, strange third creature?
No.
No. Are you God?
Amen.
Yes. Yeah, right? Yeah. Are you man?
Yes.
You have to be bold. Are you God?
Amen.
Are you a man?
Amen.
So what are you?
God-man.
You're a God man.
Amen.
That's it. Right? We're mingled together. Of course, we're not God in the sense that, you know, one day somebody's going to, you know, come down and worship you or bow down to you. We're not God in the Godhead, but we're God-men, right? Because we have his life. We have his nature, just like the tea and the water. These two elements have become one, mingled together. A good portion of the word that also talks about this matter mingling is in Leviticus chapter 2 on the meal offering, right? And there, I appreciated it to see this in a fresh way. You know, in the meal offering, the two main components, right, are flour and it's fine flour, right? It's perfect in every way without excess, right? And actually, you see that in the Lord's humanity, right? You read the Gospels, how he took care of all the different cases of people, how he interacted, even with his disciples, right? How he shepherded them, right? Even Peter, when he messed up all those times, there was always, you know, the Lord. Like, remember the time, like, he told him, you know, Peter said, oh, yeah, the Lord, he pays the temple tax. But the way he took care of him, wow, he just told him, okay, go fish, right? You know, and, you know, how he took care of the widow, right, who lost her son, right, in raising him from the dead, full of compassion. All these different cases, right? When you read the Gospels, you see such a fine man, right? But he was also God, right? And so there you see this person, this God-man, living before us. And so the meal offering it's a mingling of the flour, which signifies the Lord's humanity, And then also the oil, right? Which signifies the Spirit, his divinity. And it's mingled together as a meal offering. And actually, this meal offering, right? Not only was it food for the priest, but also it was offered to the Lord for his satisfaction. Because when the Lord lived on this earth, that living, right, that took place, that satisfied God. So in the same way, actually, our living today, and this is really the burden of this lesson, is that we need to have a certain living. Not just the objective doctrinal fact that, yes, you know, I'm joined to the Lord as one spirit, but do you live in your mingled spirit? When we live in our mingled spirit, actually, our living satisfies God. Our living makes God happy. Don't you want to make God happy?
Amen.
Don't you want to satisfy God?
Amen.
We need to live in our mingled spirit. So this actually becomes something very, again, very practical. In Roman numeral 5, let's read that together. Now that the Spirit, he witnesses with our spirit. Amen. Romans 8:16. 1, 2, 3, go.
Spirit himself witnesses
with our spirit.
That we are children of God.
Amen. The Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. And I just want to point out, you know, this verse does not say the Spirit himself witnesses in our spirit or witnesses. Like the Spirit and our spirit witnesses as if, you know, it was two separate entities. But it says the Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit. And the implication there is that the Spirit, the divine Spirit, with our human spirit are joined together as one.
Amen.
If you, I was spending a little time to look at the Greek word. It's really made out of two parts. The second half on witness, the Greek word is the same word as martyr, right? To witness, to testify. But the first half of that word, or the preposition there, I think it's sun, or sum. And so the preposition there means together. With, right? Meaning that it's joined. Some translators actually say joint, right? Joint fellowship, joining of together. And so this is awesome, right? To see that the Spirit and our spirit are one. And it's together, there's a certain expression, right? There's a witnessing, right? And so I think, you know, we've been hearing a lot of excellent testimonies of what this looks like. You know, last night, even I was thinking, you know, our brother at the very end of his fellowship, he mentioned something that caused me to remember. I think he was talking about the seniors regarding their college decision. You know, a few years ago, we had a college conference in Harvey Cedars, and there was a brother there, and he was just sharing his testimony about, you know, he was a senior, he was deciding where to go, and I thought this was the sweetest thing. So you know what he said? He said, when it came down to this decision, you know how he prayed? He prayed, Lord, where are we going to college? Did you pick up on that? Where are we? Not where am I going? Where do you want me to go? You know, because sometimes when we say that, it's like the Lord is here, I'm here. Lord, where should I go? But the sensation is, Lord, where are we going? Like the Lord is in me. So Lord, I'm just one with you. You know? If you want me to go there, let's go. Let's do it. If you want me to go there, okay, Lord. I'm one spirit with you. We need to have this kind of living. It's not what would Jesus do, right? You know, sometimes, I don't know if that's still the fad, but, you know, back then, is it? I don't know. Bracelets, what would Jesus do? That gives you the concept that, oh, Jesus is, you know, outside of me, and, you know, if he was on earth, he would act or live in a certain way, and I should just, you know, copy that. But it's, Jesus is in you, right? He's one spirit with you. And so, how will we live? And this actually should affect the last Roman numeral here. It says, we need to apply this in our talking, in our thinking, in everything we do. When we talk to one another, is it you talking? Or is it you and the Lord talking? Right? Our thoughts, is that your thought? Just your thought? Or even worse, it's like a satanic or a fallen thought? Or is that something from the mind of Christ, you know? We can apply this, right, in so many different aspects in our living, in everything we do. Are we one spirit with the Lord? Are we actually living in our mingled spirit? Brothers and sisters, this has to be our realization, right? This has to be our living, that we are living in our mingled spirit. In the book, Brother Lee gives another example. He's talking about this athletic activity. And I think even in his own testimony, right, I think he, you know, he really liked to play soccer, right? Some of you brothers might not know that. Brother Lee used to play soccer, and he used to enjoy it. And then he testified that one day, I think the ball was kicked to him, right? And then he just couldn't kick it back, right? It's just, there's no longer the peace, right? The sense of life and peace. And I had a similar experience. I shared this at the college training. You know, in high school, my junior and senior year, I was involved in this sport. It wasn't recognized by the state. In college, you know, there's no Division I, Division II. But in almost every university or college, there's a team. And so I was on the traveling team. And I played my freshman year and even into my sophomore year. And we used to practice, you know, often, you know, almost every day of the week. And on the weekends, we just had to go places to play other teams. And I enjoyed it, right? I really enjoyed it. But, you know, I realized, actually, a few different factors. Number one, you know, I was gone many of the weekends. And so I missed a lot of the church meetings. And so that was bothering me. And then, not only that, is many times when you go to these different schools, you know, you play in the day, and then at night, you know, it's usually an overnight thing. At night, all the different, you know, guys, well, and also girls, I mean, both, you know, it was co-ed. They just come together, and a lot of times it's just parties. You know, you just party, drinking, whatever. And so the inner man, the person within me, right, just revolted against that. And so, you know, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with sports. You have to be careful that doesn't become the world. But the point is, my spirit was telling me to stop, right? Not to stop playing it entirely, right? We still play it from time to time. I came out of retirement during the college training. But to play it in that way, right, with that kind of schedule, I just no longer had the peace, right? So I just told the captain, the coach, that, you know, I just no longer can play in this way. And so this is something very real. This is very real. And when you follow that sense, right, oh, you are just filled with joy, right? You're filled with happiness. With the Lord's smile. I think we all know what the sensation is, right? When you have the Lord's smile, when he's happy with us, it means everything, right? And if we don't, then it's like we lose everything. We lost the Lord's presence, right? And so praise the Lord for our spirit.
Amen.
We can be those who live in our mingled spirit. As I was praying, actually, I felt that I really wanted to give enough time. Let's do it in this way. I was considering. These points are so experiential. And so I want to ask maybe some of the TAs, including the ones who are in the training or you're heading off to the training, we need you to complete this speaking. Really want you to bring out your experiences of following the sense of life and peace. Your experiences of living in the mingled spirit. And it could be different things, right? Even in matter of choosing college, or it doesn't have to be that, right? But I hope some of you can come up, and I think we could put out the mics. And for the next 10, 15 minutes, maybe you all can share something, okay, on this matter of living in our mingled spirit, okay? So let's do that. Please come up.
Amen. So I actually have a very, very similar experience to Shepherd. So in college, I played a year of rugby, and I actually didn't start playing until I got into college. So I learned it on the fly, and you know, I really enjoyed playing rugby. Like rugby's like so much. It's so much fun. It's just like, you know, you get the ball. I was the winger. So I'm the guy at the very end. You know, you get the ball, you just run. You like, you know, try to juke people out. You know, you run them over. It's so much fun. It's like really like my soul life coming out. You know, but you know, after playing for a year, you know, the environment, you know, it's not very good. You know, well, you know, I told. You know, in the very beginning, I told the team, you know, that, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm not gonna drink, I'm not gonna party, right? You know, and then they actually respected that. You know, one of the captains actually was also Christian. You know, they respected that. They never forced me to do anything, but during practices, you know, sometimes there'd even be alcohol during practices, and you know, everybody's cursing, like dropping curses like all the time during practices, and you know, there's a lot of conversations that were just not very good. You know, I think I know what you guys mean. What I mean, right? And so just, you know, being in this, you know, and some of the meetings would be at the rugby house, right? There would be a house, and it's like, you know, very dirty. You know, there's alcohol bottles, there's beer bottles like everywhere, and you know, just not a very good environment. And, you know, I kind of had the struggle with the Lord, you know, like, I just really, like, I was there to play rugby, you know. Actually, a lot of the guys were there not to play rugby, but to party, you know. And, you know, I just really wanted to continue to play. And, you know, rugby's a little different from Frisbee because, you know, Frisbee in United States, like people, like, you can play for fun. Like, you can't really find anybody to play rugby for fun with. In the United States, like, I don't think I've ever seen anybody just like at the park playing rugby, you know. So it's not like I was like, you know, if I quit, then it's like I'm like probably never gonna play rugby ever again. But you know, I had this struggle with the Lord, and you know, I think the Lord just touched me that this is not the proper environment for you, you know. You know, even though, you know, actually I realized that as I was, you know, spending more time with these people, that, you know, these people were actually genuinely good people, you know, like they, you know, as I mentioned, you know, they didn't force me to do anything. They were genuinely good people. But, you know, they were just very, very worldly, you know, and so, you know, the Lord finally touched me that, you know, this is, you know, you can't continue to do this or else, you know, you're going to really be brought down. You know, it's like really hard to exercise your spirit in this environment. Yeah. And so finally, you know, I just said, amen, Lord, you know, finally I just said amen. And, you know, there is like this, there's just so much peace, you know, yeah. so much life, yeah. You know, all the death I had been feeling, you know, for the past year, you know, spending time with these people, you know, finally ended, you know, for the next 2 years, you know, I just started to really enjoy the Lord more because, you know, I had more time to, you know, be in the Word, to spend time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was less time and I wasn't spending as much time, you know, in this environment.
The recent experience of just, you know, asking the Lord what he wanted me to do during these 4 weeks that I have had off. So I just returned home from my first term in the full-time training in Anaheim. And I'm so appreciative that I asked the Lord within my spirit what he wanted me to do. And as it turns out, the Lord wanted me to serve for almost a week after the training was over, even though I was just so tired and all I wanted to do was come home. But so I ended up doing that. And then the Lord wanted me to serve in the college training, which was in Amherst. And then I was home for a week or so, and then the Lord was like, why don't you serve in the summer school of the truth? Oh, Lord, I don't want to. Or amen. You know, it was like, I don't want to. And then after having, you know, many conversations, it was amen. I will serve. Lord, I don't have any, I hardly have any experience serving with the young people. I've only served one term in Santa Ana, but, and I'm just so happy that I was able to say amen, because as it turns out, when I was at home that week and a half, my parents actually are in the, or we were all saved. And both my parents and I have a sibling and I, we were all in the church up until about 10 years ago. And my mom and I are the only ones in my immediate family who are currently in the church. So I was really surprised when I got home and my parents were like, we don't want you to be serving all summer. We want you to be home so that we can hang out with you and see you. And then also I have opened up about being open to the Lord about doing the second year in the full-time training. And so both my parents came up to me and said, we don't think that you should do the second year of the full-time training. You have, you know, you're not out straight out of college. You have student loans you have to pay. And you are older. You're not 24 anymore. And so all of that whole experience of me being at home really surprised me. And I was just like, oh, Lord, I am so happy and thankful that I am here and that I serve in all of these different areas because the Lord has really kept me. He has kept me during this interim. If I were home and I hadn't listened to the Lord, I would be so unhappy. I would be like, oh no. But I just really encourage you to just have that conversation with the Lord. Lord, what should I do? Where should I go? Lord, should I eat ice cream today? Anything, just open yourself to Him.
Amen. Lord, should we eat ice cream today? Saints, we need to know our human and mingled spirit. I think it's a definite and prevailing experience. Actually, very recently, I had dinner with my best friend, and we're very close humanly. I haven't seen him in a year. Anyways, we had a time together, and coming in, I had a burden. I've known this guy for 10 years. We've been close for 10 years, and I haven't told him anything about his human spirit, so there's that burden going in. Anyways, we started talking. We caught up. What are you doing now? This is what I'm doing. Anyways, I tried to, like, segue the conversation into, hey, so how are you, know? Anyways, it got to a point where we were just talking about God. And there was this feeling, this sense of life is, we need to tell Him, it's time. Like, no more transition. Just tell Him about His human spirit. And that feeling was so strong. Anyways, I told Him about His human spirit. He didn't get saved or anything, but as I was speaking and after I left, I could just sense there's just this flow of life. There's this sense of life. So since our human spirit and our mingled spirit is so real, may we know this in a very definite way.
I was just impressed with what the brother shared, that it's not about just our doctrinal understanding, but it's about our experience. And I just wanted to share my college, like when I was deciding about what college to go to. You know, personally, I really wanted to go to a school where there was a lot of full-timers, meaning those who serve full-time on the college campus, meeting with students, to get into the Word, just to spend time with you. So I have set on going to the certain school in Virginia, and I thought it was the Lord, and you know, and I prayed about it, and I felt very good. It sounds spiritual, it sounds right, it sounds like what a good church kid would do, right? But then, anyway, I didn't have peace to apply for the scholarship deadline, and then I was past it, and then when I got the acceptance, I didn't get a scholarship, and I just remembered like being in the, and it was a college spring conference or something, being on the bunk bed and just being, Lord, what's going on? Like, how come it's not working out? I thought this was you. And I think all of us have concepts of what a church kid should be like. But in the end, the Lord led me to a different school, and I can say that there was life and peace. Amen. And those 4 years were the most wonderful years for me. Amen. So I was just impressed that the whole point is not to try to behave, not trying to just speak something, just read the Bible without touching the Lord. We need to contact the Lord in every decision, everything that we do.
Amen. The standard isn't good or bad. It's a matter of life, even regardless of how we feel. So for me, the most poignant experience of the life, sense of life and peace in going to and from the sense of death was also college applications. I applied to more than 24 schools because of my circumstance. And towards the end, I was very much burnt out with the whole college process, going to interviews, things like that. And then there's a suggestion to apply to Stony Brook University. And to be honest, I didn't want to fill out the application. I felt like I did so many other ones. I'll have whatever option. I'm sure one of them has a good church life that I'll be able to go to, whatever. But there is a sense, Preston, fill out the application. Lord, I don't want to, but I did so anyway. And after I filled out the application, I felt so tranquil, just peace. And then a couple days later, what about this other school? And surprisingly, there's this complete sense of dread. And fast forwarding, I went to Stony Brook University, and I have to really just confess, the Lord has a time and a place, and he put me at Stony Brook, and he made me fill out the application. And if I didn't follow the sense of life and peace, if I followed my emotions, my sense of my emotions, then I wouldn't have been able to really experience the Lord in that opportunity.
I just appreciate that although we're very complicated people, the Lord has made it really simple with the sense of life and peace and the sense of death. I just wanted to share a little experience from when I was working. I appreciate, like, in one of the messages we talked about, in our mind, a lot of times there's reasonings, and the sense of the sense in our spirit goes against those reasonings, and it might not really make sense. So at work, we had a lot of gatherings afterwards, like, to go, like, networking or, like, just, like, I guess Friday night, like, everyone just go out together. And I just remember, even though I go and everyone knows I don't drink, and just being that kind of environment, like, it was just, I just had the sense of, like, death inwardly. And even though I knew I had to be there because, like, I wanted to make those connections, wanted to get ahead, but I just appreciate that when I just followed the sense just to leave that place, then immediately there was just the sense of life and peace. So the Lord has really made it so simple, and just need to follow our spirit.
Even though we all know that we have to follow the sense of life and peace and not just decide whether it's right or wrong, an experience is so hard. But with the companion, with the saints, it becomes so much easier. So I spent a semester in Shanghai last year, and I went with another sister from my school, and we became roommates in Shanghai. And we both shared the same sentiment that we wanted to have friends there, because even though there were saints in Shanghai, there were English-speaking saints, all of them were at least 30 years older than us, and we wanted to have friends our age. And we were in the same dorm building with about 90 other business students, and we really wanted to make friends, but business students love to drink. So every single time they asked us to go, we said no. So the first month was so hard for us because we felt like we just had each other. And I went to sister, and I just told her my feelings, and I said, I really want to have friends, and I want to preach the gospel, but how do I do that if all they do is drink? And she said, just follow the Spirit. And I think that even though at the end we, like, still had friends, and we still did stuff that we did things with them that were sanctified, but the point was that we became a testimony to our friends because they were so impressed that we were always so firm in saying no. So always just follow the Spirit and trust in the Lord, and he has the best in store for you.
So it's just a small experience, but I've always struggled with making my bed in the morning, but my first semester in college, for some reason, the Lord touched this point very strongly, and actually, he would not let me leave my room without making my bed. And one time I was halfway to class and I realized I had not made my bed, and the Lord made me go back and make my bed. And actually one morning I needed to call a sister very early. So I left the room without making my bed to call her in the common room. And then when I came back half an hour later, my roommates rushed up to me and they said, we thought something happened to you because you did not make your bed. And so actually that was an opportunity for me to speak the gospel, and there was not so much opportunity before. And so I asked them, do you know the story of the Lord's resurrection? And they said, yes, it's supposed to be a big thing where he saved the whole world. I was like, yeah, but did you know that while he was saving the world, he took time to make his bed? And they were so impressed, and I just realized when we open to the Lord in even the smallest things, he really has a way to flow and change the whole situation.
I want to follow along with what the sister was sharing, and this might be a little silly, but we were talking in the college conference about the same thing, you know, about obeying the Lord and even the little things. And I remember when I was walking, actually we were preaching the gospel with my companion in the college campus, and I saw this. It was trash. It was like glasses, like construction glasses that were on the floor. And I just walked along, and the further that I got from them, I just kept hearing, pick them up, pick them up, pick them up, pick them up. And I was like, oh, I don't want to. And I just wanted to, like, walk away from them. But the feeling just got stronger and stronger, and I felt like I had to pick them up and throw them out. So I did. I went back. I mean, I outright told the Lord, like, Lord, I really don't want to pick these up. Like, I just want to go and preach the gospel. But I went back to pick them up, and as soon as I threw them out, I felt instantly better. I mean, it sounds really silly, but try it. Seriously, just try it one day. Try to follow that feeling. You will feel so so peaceful. And I, you know, we went to the meeting, and I was actually able to even enjoy the Lord more. Amen. So, you know, just open up, and when you feel that, just go for it, and you'll see an improvement, and the Lord will grow more.
Amen. We have a few announcements. There will be a meeting of all serving ones in the first floor of Building A, that's this building, immediately after the meeting, this meeting. Number two, the barbecue has been moved to Saturday. It's not today, it has been moved to Saturday. Three, we are going on the outing today. Amen. Please wear sneakers. No open-toed shoes or sandals. Wear sneakers and long pants. If you wear socks, try to wear higher socks. We want to try to protect ourselves against the insects